from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Judy Campbell in today for Michael Krasny. In our first half hour, after long delay, the House of Representatives yesterday passed a new federal farm bill. The nearly $100 billion a year bill ends direct payments to farmers in favor of extended crop insurance, and it cuts food stamps to millions of Americans. As the bill makes its way to the Senate, we'll talk about what it will mean for California. And in our second half hour, we'll discuss a new proposal in San Jose that would allow police to tap into the feeds of private home and business security cameras with the owner's permission. Supporters say it could help crack down on rising crime in San Jose, but critics say it opens the door to excessive surveillance. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Judy Campbell in today for Michael Krasny. The House of Representatives yesterday passed a new federal farm bill, which, if approved, as expected by the Senate, will set farm policy for the next 5 years. It's a massive bill at nearly 1,000 pages with the cost of about $500 billion in agricultural subsidies and nutrition programs. California has a big stake in what's in the bill. The $43 billion a year agricultural industry is watching it closely, and more than 4 million Americans are currently receiving food stamps, which are also covered by the food bill. Joining us to explain what this all would mean for California is Michael Doyle, reporter with the Washington Bureau of McClatchy Newspapers. Thanks for joining.
My pleasure.
So the bill is the result of a lot of negotiation and compromise. One of the big sticking points that sank an earlier bill is food stamps. Republicans had asked for big cuts in the food stamp programs, 5%, ended up with a 1% cut, about $800 million a year. So just who's going to see that cut?
Originally, the House Republicans wanted over 10 years, $39 billion in cuts, and they attacked the program in several ways. What they ended up with is $8 billion in cuts, and it's sort of a trimming toward what some people call the Heat and Eat program. California and 15 or 16 other states have a program whereby they provide a very small amount of heating aid to households, which then makes them eligible for receiving expanded food stamp benefits because of how income is calculated. Under the new farm bill, more heating aid would have to be provided before someone becomes eligible for expanded benefits. It's a complicated way of curtailing benefits to about 860,000 households nationwide.
Do you have a sense of how many Californians that would affect?
That's a really good question. I don't, but as a general rule of thumb, California has about 10% of recipients. So by extension, I think it would be on the order of 86,000 California households not losing benefits, but simply not being no longer eligible for the expanded benefits that they've received up till now.
So it would cut the amount of money they get, but they would still receive food stamps.
That's correct.
All right. So another big issue in this has been farmer subsidies. And this bill eliminates something that's been unpopular for a while. They're called direct payments. That's what's been called, I think, welfare for farmers. Can you explain these?
In 1996, Congress passed the misleadingly named Freedom to Farm Act, and the stated concept was that the government would get out of the business of subsidizing farmers, but they would provide transition payments. Well, the transition payments continued, but they did not transition to an end of the subsidies. They just were enacted in perpetuity. So those direct payments are now ending. And in California, that's going to mean a loss of about $111 million a year to the cotton, rice, wheat, and corn growers. But the government's still going to be in the business of helping those commodity growers through an enhanced risk protection or agricultural insurance program. So the government's still going to be paying out billions of dollars to farmers. It'll just be doing it in a different way.
So it's subsidized crop insurance, right? So
that's correct.
The difference, I mean, I think one of the criticisms of the direct payments is that sort of regardless of need, they were getting these payments, and now farmers have to show that there's been a loss?
That's right. The problem in many views, both liberals and conservatives, was that the prior payments were disconnected from market conditions. You could have a great year or a poor year. Didn't matter. You'd still get your federal check. Now it's an insurance-based, it's a subsidized insurance-based system so that payments would have be more tailored and more reflective of market conditions.
But there are still critics on the left and right who are saying these replacement subsidies are even worse.
There are, and like everything else in farm programs, it is so complicated that will effectively mask whatever problems there are, and not to be cynical, but there will inevitably be problems discovered, but probably not for months or years. But the complications and the arcane nature of the farm program means it's going to take a while to figure out just how good or bad this is. Critics do believe, well, from the right, there are free market conservatives who think the government just should not be in the business of picking winners and losers. And from the left, there are those who don't think the government should be subsidizing the so-called fat cat agribusiness characters.
So do you have a sense of how much you talked about the cotton and rice industry losing a lot of these direct payments? Do you have a sense of if those will be made up by these new subsidies?
That's a great question, and smarter people than me may have an answer. I would guess that since the farm bill was passed with the support of the commodity groups, that they feel they're going to at least break even and possibly benefit. I have not seen myself a good dollar for dollar comparison for prior to future payments.
So generally, are California farmers happy with this whole package?
I think so. The important thing to remember about California agriculture is that it's not dependent upon the traditional subsidized commodities in the way that the Midwestern states are. Cotton, rice, wheat are important crops in California, but the real special character, it comes in what are called specialty crops, fruits and nuts and vegetables and wine and so on. And there, while not subsidized explicitly, the Farm Bill does include a lot of money to assist specialty crops. It has research programs, export programs, promotion programs, and the politically vocal specialty crop growers in California are pretty happy with what they got.
And that also helps kind of farm research institutions like UC Davis. And
well, sure. The University of California at Berkeley, for instance, there's a scientist there this year that got a $250,000 grant to study biological control of the olive fruit fly. That money came from something called the Specialty Crop Research Initiative, which is going to be continued under the new Farm Bill. So UC Berkeley, as you say, UC Davis, Riverside, a lot of the land grant institution researchers will be getting grants as a direct result of this Farm Bill.
There were some provisions in the original bill that would have really affected California, and those were rejected. Talk about one of those was the animal welfare provisions.
Right. Congressman Steve King of Iowa succeeded in getting onto the House bill an amendment that would have prohibited states like California from effectively passing stricter animal control laws. This would have been an attack on California's Proposition 2, adopted by California voters, which set certain stricter standards for cages, for chickens, and so on. And Congressman King's argument was that there should be a uniform standard rather than letting states set higher or lower standards. That got through the House over Californians' objections, and it was dropped in what was called the conference, the meeting between the House and the Senate members. So that was a victory for Californians.
Another one had to do with the Delta Plan. There was a provision that would have stopped the San Joaquin River Restoration Plan that was defeated as well.
Well, yes and no. At the very last minute, literally almost after the last minute, some San Joaquin Valley Republicans, one of whom is running in a potentially tough re-election race, tried to add to the Farm Bill, which was essentially completed, a provision that would have allowed more pumping out of the Delta to San Joaquin Valley farms. It was a kind of a splashy play, a public play, probably doomed to fail. The chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee said afterwards it came up too late for serious consideration. But I should say it did set the stage for what's going to happen next week on the House floor when the Delta water issues will be coming back in full steam on a separate bill. But ultimately, the Farm Bill did not include anything on California water.
It seems that there's a lot of stuff in the farm bill. It's a wide reach. You're just talking about the Delta Water stuff that may have been in there. Food stamps. Why are food stamps part of the farm bill? And kind of what this is this sort of a catch-all bill for a lot of things?
Well, therein lies a political tale. The conventional explanation is that in the 70s, when the farm bills, as we know them today, started to come into being, there was a recognition that the rural voters were declining in number, and that in order to get a bill through the Congress that was up until then primarily aiding farmers and farm states, you needed to form a coalition. And so by virtue of the fact that food stamps obviously deal with foods and crops, there was a linkage between the farm state's interest in crop subsidies and the urban state interests in food stamps. And so the conventional explanation for this seemingly bizarre linkage is that it allowed for log rolling, that the urban and the rural people were able to have were willing to accept what they otherwise would not in order to get what they wanted.
We're discussing the new federal farm bill passed by the House yesterday and what it means for California farmers, the environment, and consumers with Michael Doyle, reporter with the Washington Bureau of McClatchy Newspapers. This new bill has been hailed as a successful compromise. Does it reflect your priorities for the food system? If not, how do you think the $100 billion per year could be better spent? If you'd like to join the discussion, give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Michael Doyle, this issue of a compromise, bipartisan bills aren't real common. Is there a surprise that this managed to get through?
Well, anybody watching and waiting for the last 2 years would think it a surprise. This is a bill that traditionally has been passed every 5 years, and there's always some controversy over subsidies and so on, but it's a pretty routine legislative job. It's part of what is the basics of what Congress does or supposed to do, but in a reflection of weak leadership in the House and a fractured Republican caucus and difficulty in rallying votes and the real important policy disagreements over food stamp programs and crop subsidies, that combination of a problematic leadership, a fractured caucus, and difficult controversial policy disagreements just forced members to struggle for the last 2 years. And so anybody seeing that would be surprised, certainly relieved that something was finally able to get accomplished.
Well, where are California lawmakers? Where did they come down on this? There's still opposition from some, both on the left and right. Is that right?
Well, both the left and right, indeed. Barbara Lee from Berkeley, one of the most liberal members of Congress, voted against the bill, and certainly paramount among her reasons was the concern over the cuts in food stamps, which are now called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. On the right, Congressman Tom McClintock from out in the Sacramento area, one of the most conservative members, he also voted against the bill, very much a strange bedfellows alliance. His reasons include the intervention of the government in the free market and the government subsidies and the impact on the deficit. So this was a classic left-right opposition, and a good number of California's Democrats ended up opposed to the bill, as indeed a majority of the House Democrats were opposed. And there was a fair number of House Republicans to vote against it as well, but there were enough in the middle, if we want to call it in the middle, to finally get it passed on a 251-166 margin.
Environmentalists have also been critical of the farm bill. The bill does include some money for conservation. What are those programs? What are environmentalists saying about them?
Well, there are several programs, and some directly affect California. They have names like EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, and others. There's traditionally been money for wetlands conservation, often will authorize on the order of hundreds of millions of dollars. And to a degree, while environmental groups always prefer higher funding levels, there's some split. Some environmentalists feel that there's inadequate commitment to environmental protection, but others think that it was funded at levels that are as good as could be gotten out of a Republican-controlled House.
So probably the most pressing issue for California agriculture right now is the drought. Anything in this bill that could help California?
Well, there are continued authorities for federal emergency programs for crop insurance itself can benefit growers who lose crops or lose production during a drought. So there's not that we've been able to find in the 959 pages specific language that was crafted in direct result to the current California drought. However, the Department of Agriculture does have existing authorities which are renewed to some extent in this bill. So there are general assistance programs for drought, but nothing specifically targeting California that I'm aware of.
We're talking about the new federal farm bill passed by the House yesterday, expected to pass the Senate. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can call us at 866-733-6786. It's 866-733-6786, or you can email your questions to forum@kqed.org. Bob writes, welfare for our industrial food system while cutting aid to the poor. I guess the poor caused our huge annual budget deficit, the financial meltdown, etc. Are you hearing a lot of this response, Michael Doyle?
You hear it every 5 years. It's kind of a familiar debate that's held. It's an important debate. It feels a little wrote at a certain point if you've gone through several farm bills, but certainly public taxpayer support for agribusiness, big farmers, or sometimes as they're called, fat cat farmers, is commonly heard. And I would say for listeners, if you want to really dig into the details, there's a wonderful organization, there's a wonderful website run by the Environmental Working Group. And I'm not endorsing their political views, but as a database, the Environmental Working Group will track crop subsidies, and you can check in by county level. You can check by individuals, find about National Basketball Association players who get crop subsidies. You can find out how much money goes for dairy programs in individual states. And just to inform you, the listeners, I'd suggest going to the Environmental Working Group and check it out.
William from Belvedere is calling. William, please join us.
Yes, thank you very much. This is obviously, like many other bills, a very large bill that has many aspects, all the way from food stamps to olive predators and stuff like that. My question is this. Many of us living in Marin, for instance, are very dissatisfied that our representative, Huffman, voted in favor of it despite the fact that it cut the food stamps. Mike, with the relationship to that, is there a mechanism as these bills go through the House of Representatives, these very large bills, for individual representatives to put forth amendments to either add or subtract things to the bills so that they could at least be on record as having done whatever they could to, say, in this case, not have cut the food stamps?
Thanks for the question, William. Michael Doyle?
Yeah. The answer is yes and no. Individual members during the original drafting, or what they call on Capitol Hill the marking up of the legislation, if they are on the appropriate committees, can offer amendments. And so, for instance, the chicken welfare amendment that we talked about earlier from Congressman King, that was added at midnight at the House Agriculture Committee. Mr. Huffman is not on the Agriculture Committee. He's on the Budget and Natural Resources Committee, so he would not have an opportunity at the committee level. Then the next step is House floor consideration, and not to get too deep into how a bill becomes law territory, the House does not always allow everybody to offer an amendment on the floor. They will limit it because otherwise there might be hundreds of amendments. So you may or may not have a chance to offer an amendment on the floor. And then finally, there's what is called the conference, where the House and the Senate members negotiate a final deal. And there, if leadership likes you or you're well-positioned, you may be able to get something added in. So there are multiple avenues to try to amend the bill but not they're not always open to everybody.
Now, in terms of food stamps, are there boosts to food bank programs that are supposed to offset this?
That's a good question. I'm not familiar with that, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay. I saw something about boost to food banks. I don't know how much, but wonder if you could put that food stamp cut in a little more context. 1% cut, $800 million a year we're talking about?
Well, that's right. It's $8 billion over 10 years, and the food stamp cut issue became very politicized, and it became cast as the heartless Republicans trying to take food off the plate of the poor. And I'm not taking position on that, but some of the ways they were trying to save money and did save money, including tightening benefits requirements, have been identified by watchdog groups and sort of good government interests who have raised policy questions on whether the so-called heat and eat programs are appropriate or whether there was room for trimming of the expenses. So it is 1%. If you're receiving the benefits, any loss is going to be felt in the stomach probably. On the other hand, it is, by other accounts, a relatively small cut.
Let's talk about a couple other things that affect California. There's this market access program that gets a lot of money. What does that do? That's used by a lot of California farmers.
Right? It is. The market access program has been around for about 25 years under different names. It provides about $200 million a year in grants. It was written by California lawmakers. In fact, historians of Congress will want to know that Leon Panetta, former Defense Secretary, former CIA Director, and before that a member of the House, helped write the Market Access Program. California gets the biggest share of that, so that, for instance, this year the California Table Grape Commission received $2.7 million, and that money is used to help run advertisements in overseas markets and run promotion programs and so on. The San Francisco-based Wine Institute loves the Market Access Program. This year, they got about $6.5 million or so. So the market access program, at $200 million a year, it's kind of small potatoes compared to big crop subsidies. But for the California specialty crop growers, it's pretty big.
So what do we expect next? This goes to the Senate. Smooth sailing there?
When the senators are utterly fatigued and tired of the whole business, we can expect smooth sailing. It'll be a divided vote, like in the House. There are some skeptics, both on left and right, but they, I think, just want to get this past them. It'll go to this, and that could happen as early as today, certainly within days. It'll go to the president's desk, and he'll sign it, and it'll become law. And I should say, and that won't be the end of it, because as happens with every law, regulations have to be put into place, and whether it's on something like country of origin labeling or dairy policy, those rules and regulations can take years to get into effect.
And then is it another 10 years before this is revisited, or is it?
If we're lucky, it'll be 20 years. Actually, every 5 years is typically when the bills get rewritten. The cost benefit for budgetary purposes extend out for 10 years. But this is meant to expire in 5 years. So, and usually there's a couple-year prelude. So probably within about 3 years, we're going to start this whole exercise over again.
All right. Michael Doyle is reporter with the Washington Bureau of McClatchy Newspapers. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
I'm Judy Campbell in for Michael Krasny. Stay with us. We'll be taking up a proposal in San Jose that would allow police to tap into private security cameras. Stay with us. Thank you.